This is a HeadGum Podcast. Hey everybody, it's Emily here to talk to you about Adam and Eve. Spring is in the air, but is it in your step? Is it in your bed? If you're interested in better sex starting now, go to adamandeve.com. They've got toys, lingerie, accessories, everything you need to level up your pleasure checks. And right now, Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, plus free shipping, which includes rush processing. That's discreet shipping, plus 100% free shipping with rush processing on your entire order. Doesn't matter how much you spend or what you buy, all will be packaged and sent discreetly, free and fast. So just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy or anything you desire. Just enter offer code PAWPAW at checkout. That's PAWPAW, P-A-W-P-A-W at adamandeve.com. This is an exclusive offer specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code PAWPAW to get your discount, 100% free shipping, and get it fast with rush processing. Code P-A-W-P-A-W. Goodbye, sweeties.
Welcome to the campaign after the campaign. This is not another D&D podcast.
Welcome back to Bahumia, everybody.
Bahumia!
I'm your Dungeon Master, Brian Murphy, joined by Jake Hurwitz.
Overjoyed to be unemployed. Call the children.
I like that.
Emily Axford.
Rainy day fae whose life is in disarray. Calliope Petrichor.
And some duck.
And then, of course, Caldwell Tanner.
Saul Buffaut. Hey, did you know frogs can't open their eyes when they swallow?
Can't possibly keep doing this.
It's fun to know that I've always got this bullet in the chamber.
So they can't keep their eyes open while they swallow?
They use their eyes to digest their food. Like, they push the food down with their eyes. It's fucking wild. Saw is not a good dinner guest.
Interesting.
What we're getting at here.
No, yeah. But he's actually like kind of like one of those dinner guests that like looks like they're orgasming with each bite.
Oh.
How does he look so like,
really? That might be why he's so attractive.
Like, whoa, yeah. I just fucking made spaghetti and he's fucking.
Spaghetti salad.
Sweet, guys. Let's go ahead and do a little recap.
Okay. Yes.
So last time, you were awarded a coupon for your efforts in saving the S-Class Serum.
Woo!
Coupon.
You used some of it at TGI Sky Days, or I guess you kind of skipped out on your bill a little bit.
Right.
We just transferred it.
You just transferred it to the happy couple. At TGI Sky Days, you guys all vented about not getting your due. Eventually, however, you were contacted by Alexandrite and summoned to the mothership for a meeting the next day. There, amongst a throng of press, you learned that you were going to be upgraded from D to S-class synths. You were brought to a lab ship and began the procedure, only to realize early on that the infusions were attempting to brainwash you into mindless assassins.
Not good.
Mm-mm. Not good at all. You saw flickers of your friends and family saying your objective is to secure the mothership, which prompted you to act violently. But before the brainwashing was complete, you were sort of saved, quote-unquote saved, by a dragon elf in a red mask.
Saved-ish.
Saved-ish, who you assume might be the missing or dead Beatrix Netherin, who shut the system down and killed everyone else in the lab except for you. After waking up groggy, you found evidence that this dragon elf was seeking information about the S-Class program. Amongst the paperwork, you discovered the name Beedra Weevil, who was one of the scientists killed in the apparent dragon elf attack. You escaped the lab ship and jumped onto a cable car where you grabbed Albin, the grown-up boy wizard, and brought him to Callie's bell tower with you. There, he was able to jailbreak your monostones and disconnect you from Alexandrite, making it harder to trace your movements.
Thanks, Albie.
But you have now alerted the mothership that you are on the run, and that's where we are now.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you all are in Callie's room here. Albin has just finished disenchanting the part of your monostone that links you to the mothership.
Huh. How about that? My heart beats normally now. That's great.
Albi, does this mean we'll never be hearing from Alexandrite?
Alexandrite can be sort of summoned to try to kill you, maybe.
Does she have a physical form?
She can.
What? Oh.
All right, okay, okay.
Certain powerful mages within the mothership might be able to summon her.
Got it.
She's sort of an avatar. I'm freaking out a little bit, too, because I think that maybe I can't go back if my roommate is on the run.
No,
because
right.
Some of these Inquisitor mages would definitely cast Zone of Truth on me, and I wouldn't be able to lie very well. It's been...
You're a beacon of truth and justice and honor.
Ever since I took that one potion during the boy wizard and the frog pal's truth juice.
Exactly.
Where I drank.
Again, I haven't read them, and I feel like...
These are real things that happened to me.
I know,
and I feel like I should be allowed to share the things that happened to me and not just these Hollywood
And I feel like I should be allowed to read the books.
Okay.
And not have everything ruined.
Yeah, I kind of agree.
They slaughtered it, honestly.
The Trial of the Unicorn, they did a really good job.
That one was good.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, guys, none of us work for the mothership anymore. I think we all, are no longer work buds. We're just
bud buds?
We're just bud buds.
And you know what buds are? They're just waiting to become flowers.
Big flower bed. I love that.
Wow. Okay, Albie. I've got a friend, the one who runs this church, that if you're feeling concerned, he could help you.
Because I could, confess my sins to him?
No.
He does crime, right?
Yeah. The church is a front.
You could do the sign of the beard. It feels kind of nice.
Interesting. Yes, I have heard about these things. People sort of sometimes will use a religious institution to be able to commit crime within the bubble.
Yeah. But, you know...
Wow, to be in one of them. I haven't had this much excitement since the launch pad.
Well, let me see if he's around. Kruger!
You yell, and you see...
It echoes into the bell.
Very quickly, Forgefather Krugen barrel rolls into the room, and sticks a knife out and goes,
Trying to come at you, Kelly?
No, you know,
I'll shank him.
We're flower friends. Yeah. We're flower friends.
What does that mean? Is that a gang? I haven't heard of that gang.
Sir, you're scaring our duck.
It's shitting everywhere. Albie, if you don't
Green
mind.
Green is a kiwi. Krugen, okay. Can I just I upload him on
everything
that's going on, and I show him Albie, and I say he's in a bad way. He's just helped us out. We need to help him out.
Oh, you know, Forge Father Krugen is always looking for more people to help out around the church, as it were. And if your skills are as good as Callie just said, you're able to disenchant things. Maybe that means you can enchant things, and maybe you can help each other. So if you need a place to stay for now, consider my abode your abode.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Father.
Albie,
you can call him Krugen.
Are you sure this is going to be your greatest adventure yet? Working for the mob.
The boy wizard and his frog pal work for the mob.
I think I say to Krugen, he's very innocent and he's very...
He just keeps calling himself the boy wizard, and he has a really visible bald spot.
He peaked at 12.
He's really clinging to something.
Yeah,
but I just want to maybe say, if there's some way, he might have a lot of ideals that he doesn't want to compromise.
Yeah, of course, right. And that's good.
I'm gonna assume
it's good to have ideals. Of course, we all do. You know, we all have ideals. We all bless the hammer.
Right. Yeah, I on my way in. Yeah.
Of course.
Right. We all make the sign of the beer.
All right. You'll let me know if you need anything from me, points at Albin, because I'll be needing something from you in not long.
Okay. I look to my buds and I say, I wonder if we need a safe passage out of S3.
Yeah.
Most likely. Do you think we'll need a jammer or something to get out? Or
I was thinking Krugen could maybe help massage us out of here.
We just have to do it fast before they start looking for
us. Okay, yeah.
Because I was just thinking, if we need a place to hide, it might be a really good time for me to get back in touch with my ex-boyfriend.
You should get in touch with him, because we need information about this red-haired dragon elf that we saw murder a bunch of people, which was probably Beatrix, right?
Yeah, I mumbled it in the tube, but I was thinking
I saw the bubbles come out, but I didn't hear what you said.
But they formed Beatrix, a word.
Beatrix Netherin was killed, though, by...
You need to stop believing everything you read.
Oh, right.
You've been reading too much and not creating your own books.
Interesting. My story was stolen from me.
It's true.
If Beatrix isn't actually dead, then what do you think happened to the other S-classes, and was there ever really even a Dragon Elf attack?
We don't know. Why would Mothership lie about that? They have to be up to something major.
I mean, it is like that. It's called Mothership. Mm-hmm. Like, why do we fucking fall for that?
I don't know. I'm fully ready to turn my back on Mothership, but I don't know if I can do the same for all the people of Ezri, and this seems like this could be potentially bad news for everyone here. We gotta do something.
Yeah, we gotta figure out what they're up to.
Yeah.
And we gotta stop them. Just the three of us against them.
That's all it needs.
Quitting our jobs and fucking taking our fucking bosses down. Oh, yeah. I love it!
Write an audiobook about this!
So, like, we don't know if we can trust Beatrix. You know, she is a dragon elf, so I do have, like, a natural attraction to attract her out.
No, don't go there, Callie.
Mentioned this a few times.
You don't even know what her face looks like?
You've come so far.
It's the ears for me. Yeah. Sorry, I know.
They were pert.
But, I mean, it seems like she's up to something. If we're going to uncover what's going on with Mothership, I mean, she seems to have... you know, a sort of like IV in the vein of information. Right. I mean, she was digging around in Petra Weevil's office.
Petra Weevil.
Petra Weevil. I knew her socially a little bit. I was a lab mage, so I was mostly inside working on the toilet paper that I've talked about.
Right. Yeah. A little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've mentioned that I've...
You almost
the boy,
as much
the boy
as
wizard the, and the toilet paper. Wizard, no,
yeah. Okay. Honestly, I like forgot about the duck because we've been talking about toilet paper so much.
Yes, we did cross paths a few times socially, but she was a field mage, so I know that she was in on the S synth program, and she was apparently killed while she was with all of them in an outpost near the Living Wood.
When we were escaping from the tube, we saw her office had been raided and a bunch of information was stolen from her.
It was stolen by Beatrix.
Yeah.
Why didn't she kill us? She could have killed everyone in that room.
She was very good at killing.
To her, we were just new synth soldiers.
Maybe we need to talk to the rats.
we splatted the rats, though, is the problem.
I do know Beatrice's address. She's been missing or dead for a few weeks, so they may have cleaned it up, but I do know where she was. It's possible if Beatrix is interested in her for some reason that she might try to go to her apartment or something. It seems like Beatrix is sort of the key to all of this.
Okay, yeah. So we might be able to find Beatrix still here in town. Where would she have gone after?
Right. How many times have you been to Beatrix's house? Was there like social gatherings there or like...
Every once in a while, one of like the cool field mages would have a party, and some of the lab mages, we would sort of get like a plus... three situation where like one of us was cool and then the other ones would just kind of come along.
Okay.
I was never invited.
Right. Okay. So you saw the party happening while you were walking home.
I was in the toilet paper division.
Can I ask, what was the corporate culture like for you there? Do you have like free beer on Fridays?
No.
Can I have the address?
Albin, pulls out a piece of paper and writes real quick.
She was just off campus from the Launchpad Academy.
It's always back to campus.
It's always back to campus.
Back to campus!
But do you guys have a reunion coming up?
Interestingly enough, they don't, because once they spit you out, the sort of illusion is broken. In fact, I have a theory, Saul, that maybe some of those adventures...
were orchestrated by the Academy just to test our abilities?
Oh my god, your propaganda boys.
Pops, this is dark.
It's a goddamn recruitment.
You think
tool.
No, just that
I'm saying, saying we were like 12 and we were fighting these arch wizards. I've thought sometimes that we were a boy wizard and his frog pal and we were fighting like witches and stuff.
Can I do an insight check just on Albie to be like, does he actually have the stuff of a hero?
Yeah.
Yeah.
15.
Albie is a good guy and a pretty good mage. He's not, he was like probably told in school that he was the chosen one, but it's just, it's literally a situation of somebody who like, they really excelled. They excelled in an academic situation, but aren't doing that good in the workforce.
Albie, we were dangled over so many pits of so many different types of poisonous animals.
And yet we didn't fall in.
We didn't fall in. You think it was just to sell comic books?
Great. Now I know they never fall in.
I know. I was thinking the same thing. It is spoilers.
I can't even imagine how many pages. I'm going to have to skip ahead so much.
Oh, Albie, we got to go to this address, but I want to make sure we can keep in touch. Is there any way you could, like, enchant a roll of toilet paper as, like, a sending roll?
The toilet paper.
Yeah. Oh, like a roll of toilet paper that we could write a note on?
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Then your roll of toilet paper.
Does it
paper
have to be toilet? Could it be not toilet paper?
It could be wet wipes.
Would you You're prefer? The one who made it your thing.
You want it? Oh, okay. Yes. why don't I don't know that I'll be able to hand that to you right now, but I do enchant items. So if I stay here tonight, I can make a roll of toilet paper.
Albie, if you want.
If you write on it, it sends me a message. And when you unroll it, I send you a message back on the toilet paper.
It just seems like if somebody searches us, they're not going to expect the toilet paper.
It's how it has to be.
All right. I see. Pulls out the roll of toilet paper and goes, another 12 hours of this. Just holds his wand over the toilet paper and begins just whispering a stupid spell.
I smile to everyone thinking, we really saved this guy. We really took him out of the rat race.
Now he's doing it for himself.
Krugan, we need to get to this address. Do you have any way to help us?
What are you looking for?
A scooter?
You want a scooter?
I could try to find you a scooter. Yeah. What kind of gold you got? Because things cost cash.
We would also take a duck boat if you have one of those. A
duck boat? No.
We have a coupon that I think they didn't even scan.
Wait, didn't you spend all of it?
Yeah, but I still have the coupon.
You are
it's just
gonna
been
give
spent.
Me, okay. Kelly, I know we don't talk like a lot. Do you think I'm a moron?
No, but I do think you have access to a scooter, and I do think you're withholding.
Do I have any gold? Do I have any gold
you
on me?
All right, give me 10 gold, and I'll let you borrow my scooter.
This is a Lime scooter. This isn't yours.
I hacked it, and now it is my scooter. Give him the gold. It is a mothership moped, but now it is a Krugan moped. You understand? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll give Krugan 15 gold, and I will serve as Calder's helmet.
Great.
I'll serve as Callie's helmet because Calder has a helmet.
Great.
Oh, great. Right.
Okay. I'll say, there is this little arcane motorbike that he has that it will travel so slow with all three of you on it. It's like a hover thing, essentially. It's like it doesn't have wheels. It's got like handlebars, and it's got certain things that like cast spells to like make it accelerate and stuff like that. There's just the one seat on it, and then it's got like a purple glow of like a levitate spell. And it can go usually pretty fast, but as soon as Calder gets on it, you feel it like almost hit the ground. And then as Callie gets onto the back, it fully starts scritching on the ground, just making sparks.
I think Callie should drive.
And then Saul is on top, and it's just fully like ruining the road as you guys ride along.
Calder, you need to push off the ground like it's one of those toddler bikes without pedals.
Okay, you know what? Callie, you wear the antler helm. I'll wear Saul.
Okay.
We just need to shift the weight around.
Okay. we fully commit to the scooter and we go to this address.
Sweet. So you guys ride through this district that's essentially like, it's got all these different holy places and everything, most of them legitimate. There's even another Church of Moradin where like people are practicing, like a bunch of dwarves come out of church.
I do the sign.
Yeah.
I do the sign. Sign of the beer.
They do it right back to you.
Long may it grow.
You guys essentially have to go down a tier, and this motorbike that you guys are on levitates down as you guys head down into the night and get to the university district. And as you fly down on this bike, Saul, you see the lights of the mothership launch pad castle. Floating lanterns that look like stars illuminate a series of beautiful gray stone buildings. Banners of deep blue with a silver emblem of the mothership on it. There are young wizards flying around on broomsticks, tossing arcane frisbees to each other on the quad. Young knights practice their forms. You see two friends hang precariously over a pit with a Cerberus under it. And you even see, as the Cerberus like bites up, you see the two kids that are hanging over it don't see it, but it's like translucent, like goes through them as if it's like a projection.
It's all artifice. It's all a lie.
I thought Feywild was tricky.
This. I just screamed to them, it's all fake! It's all fake!
Yeah, spoiler! You're not going to fall in the pit!
You're not the chosen ones!
Yes, yes, I am, everyone says at the same time.
Oh, no.
Do they all have little pals?
Yeah, they all, they're all paired off in twos. Instead of a house, you get a little buddy.
Just a sea of duos.
Yeah, just so many duos.
It's sick.
You guys land, and you head down a street, a short walk away from the university, and find a series of row houses, these very pretty apartments made of stone. And at the address that you guys are looking for, Beedra's home, you do see two guards posted up. Mm-hmm. Two of these, like, Ezri knights. They do not look... Okay. They look like C-class.
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 People have said that we look like C-class.
I want to do a disguise self to look like Patina.
Holy shit.
And then... just go over and tell them that this is the chance to become S-class.
All right, so I'll say you make essentially like a projection of Patina. Mm-hmm. You yourself are like a dark shadow behind it, essentially. And as Patina, you go up and approach these guards.
Good news, boys. It's your chance.
Ma'am, what are you doing out here without any kind of entourage or guards or
anything? Wait up, ma'am. Wait up.
She says she's so tight, it's hard to keep up with her. She's two D-class soldiers.
Well,
all she needs, because she's so tight, she just needs D-class to guard her.
That adds up.
I also am a grandma, which means that I don't actually have to wake up early for a baby anymore. You can have it all. Speaking of which, this is your lucky day.
Yes, ma'am. Why?
You're going to report to the mothership, and you're going to become S-class soldiers.
Go ahead and give me a deception check. And you can do it with advantage.
15.
I'll have one of them go ahead and make an insight check. 13. You see, they look up, they salute, and they go, right now or tomorrow? Because we were told by Alexandra...
Do you think I have time to tell you something that you have to do tomorrow?
I have a child! You have it all! You can have it all! And you do!
Yeah! So go!
These two run off. Everyone's terrified of Patina. you see the two guards leave.
Amazing.
Wow.
You keep on the tight grip.
I was gonna ask.
You just wear it well.
Just need like 10 minutes with a mirror and some privacy.
Can I come in?
Is the door locked?
The door is locked.
Is there a balcony?
There is a second floor.
Can I jump up to the second floor?
You sure as hell can. All right. You do a standing jump with your Bullywug stats. Mm-hmm. You guys see Saul jumps right up. You get onto the second level. Let's roll a luck check. Go ahead and roll 11 or higher, and this door is open.
Okay. That's a 12.
Open up here.
I like slap my frog hands onto it and then just like, creak the door open.
Sweet. You creak the door open. You get in. I assume, are you guys going to climb up or are you going to...
Oh, I'll let some rope down.
Great. You let some rope down. You guys climb up. Everybody gets in and you guys find a cute little two-bedroom apartment. The door is open to the bedroom, but there is immediately in front of you, there's a small living area with a few like magic lanterns, a small table, a bookcase with various scientific and magical books. There are moving pictures on the wall of Beedra and her family. You see, she's this goblin scientist. It's got like green skin, these big like Coke bottle glasses and black hair. She looks like happy. There's pictures of her to graduation, her first day at work at the mothership, her diploma and her certification. This looks like a very like accomplished person. And you see in the bedroom, there's a small bed next to a nightstand and a desk. Everybody go ahead and give me like perception or investigate checks. And this is just for initial vibe. This isn't okay. Like your exact...
12.
The vibe is cozy and quaint.
14.
10.
Okay, I will say you guys get the sense as you look around that this is... It's feeling kind of staged.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Can I ritual cast detect magic? And what I'm looking for is like spells like illusory scripts. Or something that is like hidden, concealing.
Oh, yeah. So.
I'm just picturing like laser shooting out of the duck's eyes as you scan the room.
Yeah, I use the duck. And then I use him and then he honks more when there's something that's being concealed.
You go ahead and use the duck. It opens its mouth. You see a beam.
He's a metal detector, but he's a magic detector.
Deductor.
You sense magic. You sense magic off of... a lot of these minor magic items that are around the room and everything. And as you kind of investigate and go all around, you see that the thing that is like kind of most suspicious is that her like desk is bare. And as you like go into like her like cabinets and stuff around her desk, it's all empty. This is would be all her personal writings and everything. Mm. And none of it's there. But as you detect magic and as you look around, you get a sense that there's something under the floorboards in her bedroom.
Okay. I mean, I... follow the quacking of the duck to get to the spot, and then I just Calder, would you do the honors?
Yeah, I just stomp on a floorboard.
You stomp on a floorboard. It cracks, and you guys see...
Oh, that's original hardwood.
Yeah, you see you break this beautiful floor. You see beneath the floorboards, there's a locket there in a cubby.
I'm too curious. I open the locket.
As you open the locket, it begins playing a pre-recorded message.
Oh.
You see a projection of Beedra Weevil comes out of this device. You see this little goblin scientist. She is sitting at her desk in this room and addresses the device. For anyone who hears this, my name is Beedra Weevil, and I am a field mage with the Mothership Corporation. I have been trying to get the word out about the S-Class Synth program, but the journalists I was talking to stopped responding to my messages, and I fear they may have turned me in. I don't know who to trust, but I need to get this out if anything should happen to me. I worked on the S-Class Synths in the later stages. They were supposed to be better, stronger, and more efficient than the A-Classes, but they were virtually identical. Except for one key difference. There's a symbol spell and a modified memory spell mixed in with the normal elixir. I believe Mothership is planning to remotely control its soldiers and alter their memories, possibly to invade the Living Wood and be able to avoid moral objections, be able to wipe the memories of their soldiers after they've done terrible things. I've been assigned to a field mission to an outpost there as we speak. If something happens to me, it was Mothership. You see, she turns in the projection as she hears a banging sound behind her. You hear it. It looks like, or it sounds like, someone is like at her door coming to retrieve her for the mission. You see, she nervously kind of scrambles to grab the device and she turns it off and the message ends.
Something happened to her.
Oh.
I mean, it could have been DoorDash.
I don't know. I don't know what her settings are. Normally,
I was trying. I was trying on Soul's optimism, and it didn't fucking fit. You know, yet another fucking container that I fucking spill out of.
I would feel more optimistic, but she's clearly dead.
I know. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I mean, she's clearly some sort of like whistleblower. She's clearly was sent to fucking maybe get offed, not to be indecent.
Right,
guys, go ahead and give me insight checks.
Okay.
16.
Shout out to the Blue 2 crew.
Shout out to the Five Hive.
Bzz. Bzz, 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 bzz. Calder, bzz. You are showing yourself to be a bit of a detective these past few missions.
Hard-nosed gumshoe. That's me.
Saul is eating bees.
As you guys kind of contemplate the fate of Beedra Weevil, this whistleblower, you look at the device. The locket begins to glow a different color. Like it goes from like a purple to a red, as if there's like another saved message on there.
I hate to be nosy, but I think as a detective, we have to listen.
Yeah, Calder, you're always recording messages on your personal journal that looks just like this. Do you know how it works?
You
no.
have a journal.
I
Calder,
do not journal.
I have a journal. And it's, I say,
that's
who am I at
you.
The top? And I have to be honest, I've not put a single thing in.
Wow, we should unpack that.
Oh, but you've got so much to say.
Please write do my fucking therapy homework for me, please.
It would be my honor. Saul salutes and gets right to it.
I give him my who am I journal.
A person trying their best.
Okay, Calder, enlighten us. Work this dingy.
Okay. I'll see what I can do, and then I press the button.
Yeah.
Whoa!
So does he press erase?
Yeah, he erases the message. It's over. You close the locket, you open it back up, and you see that there is a different projection this time. And you see the same face you saw from the tube. Beatrix Netherin in a red mask staring down at the device. She looks at it for a second before placing it back in the cubby. It looks like she either activated it and recorded it by accident after watching Beedra's message, or maybe she wants to be seen to show that she's a few steps ahead of Mothership. You see she pulls out a bunch of papers from the cubby and leafs through them before putting them away in a satchel. You had seen that the apartment looked like it was cleaned up by Mothership probably, but it looks like Beedra had hidden some more stuff below the floorboards here that Beatrix got to first.
Like logs of her passwords and whatnot. So if she went to the office, she could hack the computer and get everything.
So as you say that, Callie, you actually see that as she puts away these papers, she pulls out a box from her bag. You see she pulls a gauntlet from it. You see the silver glove with gold rings around the wrist. And as she puts it on and equips it, you see like a little burst of arcane energy in her hand. And you guys recognize this device as a jammer. Something to dispel Mothership force fields so someone could reach restricted areas. This video was likely taken right before she went to the lab ship to interrupt the ritual you guys were undergoing. And in fact, things she found here may have led her directly there. So you see, she puts on this gauntlet, and the last thing she does is drop this box, kick the discarded box deeper into the cubby. And the last thing you guys see is darkness as she covers it up, and the video ends.
Okay, wow. So does this stink of collaboration between the two?
It seems, well...
Beedra X Beatrix collaboration?
Wait a minute, I think the box should still be in there. Saul hands Callie his tongue and then repels down into the passageway.
Repelling down into cubby.
Fucking treasure the chance to hold this fucking hot frog's tongue.
Disgusting.
I remember.
You
still remember its texture.
You're squeezing too tight.
Sorry.
You hang on to Saul's tongue as he drops a foot into this little cubby. And he's small enough that he wriggles down there. And I guess it's a good idea in case there's a monster here or somebody to grab him or a trap.
I think it's a good idea.
And Saul, you do find there's this little crumpled box here that was holding the gauntlet. And you're able to grab it and pull it out of the cubby.
Saul tugs his tongue twice.
Far up. I think he's flirting. But then I get the hint and I pull him up.
You pull him up. He was suffocating down there. It was super tight. As Saul comes out with this box, Callie, go ahead and give me an insight check. With advantage, yeah.
Okay.
Callie steps up to the fucking plate. That'll be a 17.
Ooh. 17? Callie, right. That is the same box you saw Krugen hand to the hobgoblin the other day.
What?
Do you know who Krugen is dealing with?
Yeah.
Do I?
You don't.
Okay. I mean, I try to keep it above the board with Krugen because, I don't know. I mean, we could just ask him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who the hobgoblin was.
So he's a man of the beard. He'll level with us.
He gave...
Again, it's a front. Mm. It's a front.
Right. It's a fake beard. Gotcha.
His beard is fake.
That's embarrassing. So should we take this box? So he gave this box to a hobgoblin and somehow it ended up here?
And the hobgoblin was like very upset seeing me in my attire. My, like, synth soldier attire.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean,
let's I'm worried we're going to spook Krugen if we show him this box again, though.
Oh, I mean, he's unspookable.
I don't know the man behind the beard, but it seems you do.
Yeah, I think we have no better options. Yeah, let's do it. Let's grab this box. We bring it to Krugen. Yeah. We say, can you put us in touch with the hobgoblin? We try to figure this out.
Yeah, we're just... trying to protect someone or trying to track someone down, whether they're alive or not.
All right, let's get back on the scooter.
You guys get back on the scooter.
It's
and
very easy to remember which one was ours.
This time you guys
I
have to go
my umbrella.
Up.
I use my umbrella to sort of like tag along on the back, okay. You know?
So you're doing like a parasail?
Actually, yeah. I think I use my umbrella so that we're kind of parasailing.
Yeah, I throw
that's
a
great. Because I was going to say that you guys were going to have to do like the subway thing of like the asshole guy who like has to bring a bike on the subway. Because you guys were going down to get to the university area, but now you have to go up and all this does is really like levitate.
Yeah, so I just like make some rainstorms into it and then it can float us up.
I'm going to Spider-Man whip us forward with my tongue.
Great. So you get back up to the Church of Moradin and you do find Forge Father Krugen.
Kelly, how can I help you? Krugen. I saw your buddy in there just looking at a piece of toilet paper.
Good.
Yeah. I know. He's finally doing it for himself.
Yeah.
Finally doing it. It's actually a real success story.
Right, all right.
So, Krugen, can I ask you about the hobgoblin from the other morning?
Okay, these guys are cool. You're all above the board. Or under the board. I don't want anybody above
Mothership. We're trying to get away from the boards altogether.
Mothership wants us dead, so there's really... We have nothing to lose.
On that one, brother, yeah.
Mothership is trying to create... I feel Krugen in on like what Mothership is trying to do.
Yeah.
And I say, we're trying to, number one, stop them from doing that. And number two, find Beedra or the people Beedra was connected with so we can just stop all of this from happening and just try and put things right.
We sort of went digging. We found some video evidence of the box that you gave to the hobgoblin being used by a little someone named Beatrix Netherin pulling out a jammer. And so I'm kind of wondering, do you have access to be...
Guys, go ahead and give me insight checks.
Good sign.
Ooh. 17.
16.
19.
Okay. You guys see Krugen immediately begin sweating.
No!
Key and Peele style, just like sweat coming down so hard.
Actually, I think for a second I'm like, I'm sorry, are you Rainy? Yeah. Are you a Rainy that you're laughing too?
I might be. Okay, you saw something that exchanged hands in this church being used by a quote-unquote dead S-class turned vigilante who is going after the mothership.
Pretty much.
Yeah, long and short of it. Okay,
I am implicated in something bad.
Okay, but
for me, I'm just smuggling.
Krugen, I'm not trying to take it to anyone. I actually am just kind of like, if you have a fucking line to Beatrix, can you set us up because we'd like to meet her?
I know what you know. I thought she was just, I saw that she was dead on the news.
Okay,
I don't know anything about Beatrix.
Okay, so then can you maybe introduce us to your hobgoblin?
Okay, yeah, okay. I have to have a word with that guy because he got me into some serious shit.
Okay, Krugen, you've been there for me. I'm not trying to do anything to make you feel uncomfortable.
All right, no.
Okay, so we're on the same side.
You see he...
Come down. Here, let me ground you. Take my hands, I'll ground you.
all right.
Saul wipes his brow with a knitted handkerchief.
Krugan starts to feel Callie's energy and starts like sobbing a bit.
They're gonna get.
I just absorb it like a true empath. Yeah,
they're absolutely gonna kill me.
Cry
Callie.
Through my eyes. They're gonna cry kill me, through Callie. My eyes.
You're gonna be all right.
Yeah, it's almost like the situation Krugan is kind of in is it sounds like he gave somebody a piece of technology or something, mm-hmm. and then they went on to go commit like a huge crime with it.
Yeah,
so
he's
definitely sweating a bit. But you see, like, he calms down after a little bit and he goes,
"Oh, all right, Callie, you were asking me about my contact.
I was.
Right. So that hobgoblin is part of a crew called." Mob Goblin, of course.
That's fair.
It's not that funny. It's not
hey,
Albie!
Albie, did you hear that?
Yes, sorry, I'm concentrating on the toilet paper. I need to concentrate on the toilet paper.
He's finally getting to doing it for himself.
I'm so sorry.
I'm doing it for me.
And for us.
Follow your bliss. Trust your heart. Yeah. Magic is real.
In the head of Mob Goblin is, of course, Ma Goblin. Okay.
Wow.
And she is a great scientist in her own right. Highly wanted by the Esri Guard. So you're going to have a hard time finding her. But my contact is a hobgoblin named Dark.
One question. Is Ma Goblin a mother or a grandma?
I don't know her status. I think it's more of a ma, like she's the matriarch of the crime family,
okay.
as it were.
We'll ascertain her tightness separately.
Right, yeah. So my contact is Dark. He hangs out at a bar outside the bubble called the Toad Hole.
The Toad Hole.
Toad Hole.
It's owned by a scullywug.
And you guys would know scullywugs are... they're like the cousins of bullywugs,
right.
Sort of. They're frogs. They're like gray frogs. Originally, a lot of them were from Shadowfell. A lot of them came over. They are like gray frogs, and they tend to be bigger. So while our friend Saul here is like 3.5 feet tall,
right.
they're like 4.5 or 5 feet tall. And
they're monsters.
They're
giants.
Big. They are like 400 or 500 pounds. They're like big.
Yeah. Wow. I remember the songs from my childhood.
Yeah, you can stomp ants or something.
You can stomp
bugs.
But be kind to scullywugs.
Yeah,
it's right. catchy.
Yeah, they love singing that. All right. Well, that's where I know. I don't do as much business with Mob Goblin as I do others. But yeah, if you talk to Dark, you say you're in with me, you maybe dye your... armor or something, so you're not wearing the Esri blue, and you can get in with them, meet up with Ma Goblin, and find out who she was selling
okay,
to.
Okay, everyone come to me.
Great.
Bring me your armor, your blue armor, and I'm just gonna use all my wateriness to just rust over.
Oh,
all
rad.
Blue.
You make it like a copper color.
Yeah.
It gets like orange.
That's awesome.
That.
A complimentary color to my beard.
That's right. One problem solved. All right, I think we need to borrow the scooter again.
Oh, you're going to take my scooter again, Callie?
It's fine. It's in great shape.
All right. I guess you gave me a mage, but like I said, I walked in there and I was trying to offer him something. He was just looking at toilet paper.
You got to let him get through that roll and then he will be good to go.
Actually, we gave you a lifetime supply of toilet paper.
Toilet paper, right. Yeah. All right. Good.
It's high quality stuff.
You see, after a bit, Albin comes out. I've done it.
You've done it, Albin.
4 hours of concentrating on the toilet paper roll.
Incredible.
I'll give you this one. And then the toilet paper roll that I have here, whenever you write something on it, I will see it on my toilet paper roll. And vice versa.
Albie, I just thought of a
yes.
really good side project for you.
What?
Ooh. A paper towel.
That's good. That's
really
good.
Do you think I'm ready to move on?
Well, you might be, but
the boy wizard and the adventure of the paper towels.
We promised, Krugan you'd do another roll of toilet paper for him.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I could use one of them. What you got? Sending messages back and forth that could be really good on the sly. All right. So then, and actually, if you're gonna do that, we should probably get all the churches that are in on this.
Probably.
So if
yeah.
you could make me 6 or 7 of those.
All right, so that'll take me about 4 hours on each. Okay, so.
But Albie, you're doing it for yourself.
We're going to correspond right. about like what your next thing is going to be. But I want to hear what your like your big still, ideas are. But
it's still the toilet.
Focus on the TP for now.
It's the toilet paper for
but
now.
But I want to hear what you got cooking, okay?
Okay, well, this is the sister role to my role. So you just let me know.
Role respondents, of course.
If you need anything for me, and I will be making some toilet paper for Father.
A literal Father Rolodex Krugan. Now, right?
That's really good. Okay. Yes. That's really great.
The boy wizard and his toilet
I'm
paper.
So happy so
your
for
bald spot
him.
Got bigger while we were gone.
Yes, and my hair tends to fall out as I get more stressed, and I'm going to go sit in the room.
Okay. I love you.
I love you too, Zol.
I love you.
I love you, Callie.
It
looks like Calder expectantly.
I'm not ready to say it yet.
Tell him you love him.
I just met. I love you.
Looks surprisingly touched. Oh my god. Walks away.
All right.
He also had a really bad breakup a few years ago.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. Abandon the mission. I need to gab.
It was during the Feastimus Ball. At Launchpad Academy.
I love Feastimus.
I love Feastimus too. It's great. You know, they were doing the traditional exchanging of meals.
The other wizard schools come to the school exactly. and you switch meals and the food gets kind of cold. And so the wizards there have to heat up the food together.
I just think you need to let him tell it. I'm not in a position to divulge this information.
Okay. I shout to Albie that we're going to talk about our mutual breakups when I get back.
Oh, no.
I also just went through a breakup.
Sends you from, you get a message in your toilet paper roll. I hear you, sister.
All right, onto the scooter.
You guys get back.
I'll put the duck on the front.
Oh, absolutely. Is there a basket? There's got to be a basket.
And I'm gonna squeeze them like a horn whenever anyone gets in our way.
You see, yeah, physically this duck is magic. So you squeeze him and you need him as a horn, and you feel there's no bones there. He's just it's terrifying.
Nothing to break. That's good. Can I drive this time?
Absolutely.
I really enjoyed driving that airship, and I'd love to try and drive something for a second time in my life.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will say
you can wear me as a helmet.
You guys, I think, do get the sense that like it would take them a minute to find you guys at Father Krugan's place. Like he's pretty good at keeping a low profile. You guys could take a long rest if you think you need one.
Oh.
Okay.
I feel like I can never turn that down.
Yeah, maybe we like chill. We have like a little daytime snooze, and then we hit up the tavern at night.
Yeah,
I'll say you guys go. Yeah, you guys go to bed. It's just about daybreak as you guys get back from Beedra's apartment, and you guys go to bed for the night. Albie miserably burns the midnight oil, enchanting another toilet paper roll for Krugan, and you guys wake up the next day a little bit later into the afternoon.
I have fitful dreams about Glenn.
you dream about Glenn, and you think about the way that you saw the eyes of that red dragon elf looking in at you. You remember Glenn's bright green eyes. Ooh. And you saw him often. He would not wear the mask, but they would wear the masks when they were dealing with like outsiders, essentially.
I think Saul is like feeling really charged up. Like this is the first time he's felt like purpose in a while.
Yeah.
It's felt like really renewed. So he wakes up extra early and puts targets all around the room and is going to flick at them with his tongue.
Hell yeah.
I wake up and I'm like, oh, you decorated. It's been on my mind that I need to decorate and I've been putting it off, but thank you.
Yeah, I used some of the paint I found on the corner, and I just put targets up on the wall. I hope that's okay. Yeah,
absolutely. Paint? What?
I know that I hit it if I lick a little paint. It's very wet still.
Sweet. So, you guys have this bar, the Toad Hole, that Krugan said that his contact usually hangs out at.
Oh, so because this is like normal for us, right? We slept during the day, but we're the night shift.
Yeah,
so.
True. Mm-hmm. Very normal.
Yeah.
All right, night shift.
Everything about us is normal.
I feel normal, and Yeah, I feel alert, alive, good, normal.
I feel tired. Is it all right if I go to bed? I'm not used to not having a boss.
Yeah.
Because my whole life was a lie.
You're your own boss. You make your own hours.
Our life was a lie, but now you're living your truth.
Yeah. Right, but Calder, do I have to make the toilet paper?
I was going to say, you make your own hours. You're your own boss. And if you've done at least, the 16 rolls of toilet paper that
you should probably hit your minimum, yeah.
Okay. That's then you're off the clock.
Great. I'm doing this for me.
Yeah, you're doing this for you.
I'm doing it for me, the boy wizard, and he's doing it for him.
I see that pack is a little shy, so just maybe one or two more rolls.
Right, yeah. Okay. He goes over.
Hey. I love you.
Sweet. You guys take... Once again, take Krugen's moped, which I'll say you guys like essentially ruins. Like Krugen, when you bring it back, he's like,
the shocks are gone.
Yeah, you dragged this on the ground. My God.
Is that not how it's supposed to work?
No, it's supposed to hover, my friend. You guys get on this mothership moped, and you fly out and you exit the Ezri bubble. Huh. You see there's this like purple tint, this like arcane bubble. Just as the sun is setting, you guys leave.
Making our rust-colored armor glow.
You guys do feel like a sense of freedom.
Is it a gorgeous sunset?
It is a gorgeous sunset. You guys look out
what
and like...
What sort of colors?
It's like red, orange. You see like a pink sky. I will say like there is a lot of beauty inside the bubble, but it is like it's got this like artificial quality to it. Like you're essentially in like Disney World or Times Square. It's like all very everything is perfect and nice. And the arcane bubble does kind of like this force field obscures things like the sunset and stuff. So you come out of it, you see the sunset. For the first time in a while, you guys have been outside the bubble, but you don't spend much time outside.
Wow.
Yeah. And you look out and you see this beautiful natural sunset.
I'm back in the afters.
Yeah, I love feeling the wind on my throat sack.
I love hearing it.
So you guys are in the outer city here. Here it is much more flat. The buildings don't get that tall. Most of them are made of stone, but there is a variety to them, which is different than within the bubble where everything kind of looks the same. So it's got its own kind of character. Mm-hmm. The cobblestones in the streets, a lot of them are missing. They're missing a lot of stones. It's definitely pretty rough as you make your way. You do see people like barking on the side of the road that are like trying to sell like bootleg mothership products and stuff like that. Like, you can tell that there are a lot of, there are essentially a lot of like amateur scientists and stuff who sell their products out here in the outer city.
If I see anyone trying to sell a Rolodex of toilet paper, I'm going to flick it out of their hands.
That's our thing.
You see that they are more likely to use like torches and stuff and actual physical stuff here instead of enchanting everything. And it does, there's a niceness to being around things that like kind of feel real for once.
Yeah, as we're riding in, I think Saul like mentions like, actually before I went to the academy, I grew up in the outer bubble.
Did
or in
you?
The outer city, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I was abandoned and I lived in a defunct water park for a while. And actually...
Defunct?
Yeah, it was, I think, the inner bubble mothership tried to expand and build some water parks in the outer city. And they didn't really work out, not enough people were coming to them, so they kind of fell into disrepair, and that's where I lived for a couple of years. There was actually a couple of scullywogs that lived there too, and ironically enough, they were bullies to me, a bullywog, so that's, I'm not really thrilled to be meeting with them again.
Okay. I see.
Well, if on the way back you wanted to swing by your water park, we could try to do that.
Yeah, I could freeze it over. We could skate there.
Aww. I'd love to skate in a defunct water park.
That might be nice.
All right.
I'm a really good skater.
I just kind of slide.
So am I.
I bet I'm better.
Let's fucking go.
One winter, I just froze and slept the whole time.
Oh, my God. You hibernated and you're not supposed
honestly,
to?
Honestly, after Glenn, I did a similar thing.
It's nice to not think for a bit.
Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Aura Frames. Are you looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Well, look no further. Aura Frames are the beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. My mom, my mother-in-law, and my grandmother-in-law all have Auras from me, and they love them. So from grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, and even the friends in your life, every mom loves an Aura frame, named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. Trademark, brother. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages. They're easy to set up. They are the perfect gift, and they've got unlimited storage, unlimited photos and videos. You can invite as many people as you want to a frame. There are absolutely no hidden fees or subscriptions. How beautiful is that? And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That is Aura, A-U-R-A, Frames.com. Use the code PAWPAW at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Thank you, everybody.
Howdy, Nadpoles. Caldwell here with a very important question. Do you like spending money? I sure do. Every time I give away my money, chances are good I'm going to get something I want in return. It's a pretty sweet deal. But sometimes I find myself paying for things I'm not even using. And when that happens, I end up having less money in my bank to spend on things I do want. Ridiculous, right? Luckily, Rocket Money is here to help. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That is rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. One more time, that's rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That's it for me. Thanks for listening and happy savings.
So you guys follow the instructions that Krugen gave you, and you make it to this big saloon called the Toad Hole. It's a rowdy, open-air tavern, two tiers with a balcony and a veranda where people are drinking and dancing. You see a goblin with a red suit jacket is playing piano. Ooh. Normally, when you guys are like in the bubble, they really like to flaunt how much they use magic, and it'll be like a violin playing itself, like, or an air elemental doing it. And this is like, you're like, whoa, a dude playing an instrument. Whoa. That's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's crazy.
I take out my bird pipes and I jam.
Go ahead and give me a performance check.
What are bird pipes?
I don't really know what they are. What I'm picturing is that each different, like, it almost looks like a bunch of pipes, and each pipe plays a different type of bird.
Bird note?
So I'm going to go for like a nice gobble gobble wild turkey. That's going to be a 16.
Oh, yeah. 16? Yeah, you start playing pretty good. You see this goblin starts playing along with you and changing to fit your song and kind of nods at you and gives you a smile.
I'm going to do like a frog hobbit dance on a table.
You do a frog hobbit dance on a table. You see a bunch of people get pumped up and start. Go ahead and give me a performance check.
Uh-oh.
Wow.
No, that's a 3. And my performance, that's a 5 total.
A 5 total. You see, you start doing that, and the people that are sitting at the table go, get the fuck off our table, the drink's there, you're gonna knock them over.
I was doing a fun dance.
What the hell's the matter with you?
I thought I was in the moment.
What's the matter with you? She's playing a nice song, the guy's playing a song on a piano, and you come over here and you start kicking drinks.
Oh, come up on the table with me, we'll spin around, it'll be
come
fun.
Come up on the table, I'm a fucking ogre.
Believe
you insane?
Believe in yourself. You can do it.
You see Old Toad, the scullywug behind the bar, the owner.
Mr. Toad himself.
Mr. Toad himself. Shouts out, no standing on the tables, dancing on the floor.
Yeah, down on the floor. Floor dance.
Floor dancing it is.
It's still pretty good.
Saul does a depressed triple backflip.
Okay, okay. I wipe this all the spit off my bird pipes and I get to work.
All right.
Can I look around to see if Darg is here?
Yeah.
Because I did see him.
Yeah, guys, go ahead and give me perception checks.
Fuck me, that's a 3.
19.
That's
another 3.
Callie, you look around. You do not see any hobgoblins on this level. There is a second level, but I will say with that roll, as Saul gets down from the table and stuff, this ogre just yelled at him. You do notice as you look around, you see that there's all these like characters around the bar and stuff. You know, there's humans, there's elves, there's halflings, but then there's also like minotaurs and like werewolves and ogres and stuff. You see this ogre that was sitting at this table that yelled at Saul, sees you and kind of does a double take.
Oh, no.
I'm feeling confrontational. Hey, I saw you look at me.
Yeah? Did you?
Yeah, I was wondering, like, do you recognize me? Are you friends with Glenn?
See, he looks absolutely baffled.
Am I friends with Glenn?
Yeah.
Who the Glenn. Fuck is Glenn?
Sounds like a euphemism.
No. I was just thinking about earning myself 35 gold.
it's 30.
No, he's 35.
Is
Don't
it?
Take that 5 away from me. Okay. I see. So that's what you want to do. You want to kill me for 35 gold, not even enough to buy a minor potion of healing. That's what you want to do?
I don't see you hurting me, so I don't think I'll need a potion.
I'll give you 50 gold.
Yeah?
Yeah. Just let's not cause any trouble.
Yeah.
We got to get Darg on our side.
Okay. Go ahead and give me a persuasion check with advantage.
Do we have 50 gold?
I think in my starting pack I would.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I'll say you guys have, I mean, you guys are level 5 and you're worth,
I think, yeah,
and
I think my starting was like 150 or something.
Oh,
like
well,
that.
Okay.
Yeah.
14.
14. He takes the gold. And he goes,
all right, finally somebody with a little reason.
Thank you, Calder. You didn't need to do that.
A little too much reason. This guy won't even dance on the table.
You're worth much more than that.
I stop weeping.
Jumps up in your arms.
Okay, someone get a mop. I'm gonna make a mess. Put up the caution wet floor signs.
I freeze them as they fall to the ground.
Oh, do they shatter?
I think about using the toilet paper. I'm like, nope, not that.
Not that.
That. That's precious.
Okay, so let's go up to the second floor.
Sweet.
Then.
Take a lap.
You guys go up to the second floor. There's a lot of like dancing and noise up here. You see that this is such a noisy place that downstairs there's a piano player and up here there's a fiddle player and they're dancing to two separate things.
Yeah, this is my favorite.
Yeah.
Calder dances on a table.
You too. I dance on a table.
Go ahead and give me performance checks.
Saul crosses his arms.
Yes, that is a 24 for me.
Oh my god, that's awesome. I got an 11 that turns into a 10.
A 10, okay. You see, as Calder, you like go to step up on somebody's table, it immediately like tilts and a drink just spills in this dude's lap. The hell's what? Why?
Weak tables.
But you, there's like a table of halflings. They've all got like little like newsboy caps. And you see Callie jumps up and starts doing a dance and they start like clapping along.
Oh, yeah.
I will say, I'll count your perception checks from before. Callie, you look around and you do see that Darg, this hobgoblin that wears like a duster, has like a breastplate underneath. Is at a table with a few other hobgoblins and then a couple humans and, like, an elf.
Should we walk over with some drinks, maybe? Try and put a good foot forward?
I love that, okay. Yeah.
Very sweet. Nice.
What are they drinking? Can we take a look at what they're drinking?
Yeah, you look at what they're drinking. They look to just be drinking a classic ale.
Oh, they're going to be drinking out of a frosty mug.
Oh, yes! shit!
Yes!
Calder Frost some mugs. You guys.
Oh, and I do bring over a pitcher of water because sometimes that's hard to get at a bar.
Yeah.
Holy shit, a pitcher of water and frosty mugs. You guys go down, you throw a couple silver to old Toad, and you guys bring some beer upstairs. And you bring these beers over to Darg and company. He looks up at you, Callie, and goes,
good to see you again.
Hi.
Are you looking for me? What are you doing?
I am, here? Yeah. We came to talk to you because obviously I'm good, I'm clear, like we're on the same level. We're both, you know, have criminal elements.
You don't say
I know, I'm always so transparent with it.
You're just like a general mumbling, like, yeah, we all do criminal.
Okay, basically, we are looking for your friends. Yeah. And we talked to Krugen, and he said that you hang out here, and he said to say we're friends with you, with Krugen, and it will get us in with you. We are looking for Beatrix.
Go ahead and give me a persuasion check with advantage because of the frosty mugs that you deliver. You see, like, the Darg looks like a little bit of a tougher audience, but the other guys are like, oh, this is gold.
I wink at them.
Holy
That's
shit.
That's going to be a 24.
And water? I was feeling a little dehydrated. We asked the waiter for this water, but we didn't get it. You see Darg looks at kind of the other guys around him and just kind of, like, motions for them to go. And you see Darg gestures for you guys to sit.
I sit down very wetly.
I sit down very heavily.
I sit down very squishily.
You're all sitting down in very strange ways. I don't know what you mean about this Beatrix thing.
And you guys,
I hold up the box, the crumpled box that he delivered.
Everybody, give me insight checks.
12.
17.
Nat 20.
Woo!
An insightful.
You look at it, Saul. He absolutely recognizes the box. He does not know that Beatrix has anything to do with this, though. You see, he looks at it and goes,
this was
a jammer.
He nods. There were parts in here to help my boss make a jammer.
Okay.
And I may have brought that to her, and Forge Father Krugen may have helped me attain the parts we needed.
Great.
Okay, so there's more steps than we thought here.
And I love the circuitous language, so we're looking for someone that might have gotten something from your boss.
Right.
And we just want to ask your boss.
So you might want to meet the person that I am
maybe
employed by.
Potentially. Yeah.
Circuitously and surreptitiously.
Possibly.
If I were to tell you who my boss was, I would be lying if I were to say it wasn't Ma Goblin.
I whisper to both of them, this is actually Thieves' Cant.
That makes sense because Thieves can't understand it.
So if I were to not find out who your boss was,
right,
then I wouldn't be able to go visit Ma Goblin.
Right. The thing is, everyone knows Ma Goblin exists out here.
Right.
She knows how to hack Esri technology like no other. They keep updating the different shields and stuff, and she keeps figuring out ways to get around it. So suffice it to say, she is somebody that we like to keep hidden. So last time I saw you, points at Callie, you were wearing Esri blue.
Do you have any means of, like, identification or anything? Because if you were to scan my tummy button, you would see that my mana stone has been jailbroken, which means that this little soldier has been jailbroken. We pop the bubble.
Okay. I'll tell you what. If you want to earn my trust, if you want to meet Ma Goblin, I need you to prove your disloyalty, as it were, to the mothership.
I love a trial.
What do you need us to do?
All right, so the job those rats tried to do the other night, that's kind of their MO.
Usually they hijack ships that are traveling outside to other towns. They do it from here. Recently, they took over an airship and crashed it in an abandoned district not too far from here. Problem is, the rats crashed the ship in a territory owned by a different crew. They're currently squabbling over the spoils. Perfect time for somebody else to swoop in and take it out from under them. You go in there.
So you are not in with the rats?
No.
You hate the rats?
I do.
Okay, that's because we're kind of... Well, we don't hate the rats, but we certainly made an impression on them.
The rat crew, the juicy rats out here.
Yeah.
Not friends of Mob Goblin.
Okay.
Okay. So, in order to achieve an audience with Mob Goblin...
You get me.
We do visit it.
The product.
Little errand that is nothing for a couple of jailbroken soldiers.
Right. So this is a classic swoop and scoop.
Classic swoop and scoop.
Okay. Which we may do.
And there's a slight gang war in the streets over it.
How slight? On a scale of one to raging?
It's a raging.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
So that we're stealth is probably the name of the game here.
Or we can just like wipe them all out.
It's true.
Am I being ambitious?
We got options.
I do like the glimmer in your eye when you say that, but I feel like, you know, we are wanted, so I feel like if we can minimize deaths, I feel like that's probably good.
That's a good idea.
That's all happening in a bandit town, isn't it?
That's a good point.
All right.
All right. We are going to go ahead and do that just for you, and we're going to prove that you can trust us, and then you're going to be begging us to meet Mark Goblin, and that I can say with 100% certitude.
Maybe.
How are you fluent in Thieves' Cant?
I don't know.
All right, well...
I couldn't even pick it up. My family speaks it fluently.
It's guttural.
So if you were to do this job for us and you were wanting to contact me, it wouldn't be a non-good idea to hit me back up, as it were, on this... toilet paper that Ma Goblin designed.
Oh.
Hands you a pristine roll of toilet paper.
Okay, is that laminated?
Is a problem. Yeah, I'm sorry. What do you call this model?
This is Ma Goblin's shit messages.
Okay, our name's better. Right, it's better. We can fucking take this.
Hold
market.
On, wait. Yeah, can I do an inspection to see how many ply this is?
Right off the bat, high ply, and Dark goes, not only can you send messages, you can also wipe your ass with it, and the shit will come off. So it's not a one or the other thing.
We can't tell Albie.
We can't tell Albie.
No.
It would be defeated.
So just write on the toilet paper when you've got it, and we'll come in.
Right.
And looks at you, deadly serious. If you try to skim off the top, I'll know.
Okay. What if after we secure it, because we will, I have 100% certitude about that. I don't even do self-doubt. It's just not part of me MO.
There you go, Kelly.
I'm crying. But is there a chance that we could maybe...
You can each take one thing, but it can't be the best thing.
Okay.
That worked out way better than I thought. Okay, great. Awesome.
We can have one treat.
You can each have one treat.
Thank you.
Okay, absolutely. Well, we've got a scooter, so we're going to scoot on out of here.
Sweet. So you guys leave Darg here.
Actually, we weren't finished with our drinks, though, were we?
No, yeah.
Okay, it's great.
My tongue keeps getting stuck to the frosty side of the glass.
You guys...
So I got to wait a bit.
You guys drink your drinks, drink in the fiddle.
Drink in the fiddle.
I absorb the fiddle through my skin.
You guys finish your drinks, and you walk from this district to the one that Darg told you about. You had all this life... Walk. And all these people around you.
We scoot.
You're scooting. I'm so sorry.
We don't walk. We scoot.
We scoot and scrape.
You scoot and scrape.
We
as you go across the ground. It slowly transitions from this like very lively place to like a ghost town. You begin to see boarded up buildings on which there is various graffiti. Lots of apocalyptic messaging.
I I want a wreath as all.
You keep seeing this name, the Lightkeepers. That looks to be the crew that maybe is in this area of town. They may have like chased other people out. You see messages that say Theala was right. You see a new cataclysm. All shall join her. This feels very much like, and you guys know about Theala and how she did like destroy a bunch of like cities in the world by bringing like great like plague and earthquakes and everything on the world. This appears to be a religious cult that believes that that is good.
Oh God.
And what was Theala's impact on the Feywild?
On the Feywild, not as much as on the material plane.
Okay, so I haven't like really heard that.
You probably haven't heard that much about Theala, especially because in the Feywild, crazy magic shit happens all of the time. But I will say that around the time of the Cataclysm, there was this huge battle during which there was a rift open that brought in a bunch of Eladrin, so brought settlers to the material plane from the other world, and they eventually created a city to the south called Merengate, south of the main continent, and Callie, your family were smugglers. They basically smuggled things from the Feywild through there, and then like sold magic items throughout Bohemia.
Okay. Huh. So yeah. I mean, I don't really have much of an opinion of Theala.
No, I mean the Lightkeepers would come around to the water park every once in a while to try and recruit people, and they would offer you milk and white bread, but you would have to listen to a whole sermon, and they would try to like make you pledge a blood oath. It was a whole thing. So
sounds lame and weird.
It's pretty intense, but the milk was good.
I think let's just stealth up, right?
We can try.
Best we can, yeah. Do we get a sense of where the crashed airship is? I imagine there are people like guarding it or fighting for it.
Yeah, Dark told you exactly where it was.
Okay.
So you guys travel, and I'll have you guys do your stealth check once you get within range of people. But you guys find an old church of the goddess Theala here. This seems to be one of the only places that is not abandoned here. See, there's a cracked statue of her out front, two broadswords at her side, tunic over plate mail. The church itself is still standing, but the windows have been blown out. It may have been like that for a while, or it may have just happened because there's a fucking airship crashed into the roof.
Okay.
And you hear all this yelling, the sounds of arcane explosions and steel on steel as the juicy rats and the Lightkeepers fight in the street and the church. It's one of those things where like it's literally like urban warfare where it's like you see these cultists, cultists of Theala, the Lightkeepers. They have these like white cloaks on that are like all dirty and stuff because they've been like fighting for a while. So they're coming out and like fighting with swords and stuff, and they are fighting against rats that are either like the rat folk that you saw, like the rogues, or ones that are like that may have monostones and may have like self-altered themselves. Whoa. And are now like all like swollen magical.
And the juicy applies to the fact that they're all juicing, not their asses.
They also have juicy. The juicy ones have juicy asses,
okay,
for
great,
sure.
Good to know.
Yeah. So, guys, go ahead and give me. I'll say they're in the middle of a fucking battle. Go ahead and give me stealth checks with advantage, and we'll do a group one. So, if two of you pass, you're good.
So, I usually roll with disadvantage. I'll roll wrong.
Flat.
That's a 22.
19.
Great. I got a 10.
Great. Okay. You guys go up, you hide behind this like big statue of Theala. There's fighting going on all around you. You see at least five of these Lightkeeper cultists and two like Lightkeeper priests fighting like three rat folk rogues and one of these like buff rats that has a monostone. Okay. And inside you hear more stuff going on and the airship is crashed in there.
Before we go in, I'm going to give you both Fey inspiration.
Thank you.
Is that Bardic Inspiration? Or?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Is anyone on the airship?
That would be very unlikely. You see that the airship that crashed here is completely vertical. And you would imagine that the like payload, the thing that you're trying to get to, is probably in the hull. So you can't just like hop up and grab it.
But we could hop up and then
and
dive
then
into
climb
it.
Down, sure.
Yeah, I say we avoid the street.
Yeah, I was wondering if I could just like hop onto the roof of the church and then kind of make my way to the airship.
I say we do that.
The longer we can let them fight each other, yeah, the better.
The better, yeah.
So maybe is there a way we can I can hop up and then throw a rope down to y'all?
Let me see. How high can you jump?
If I use my bonus action Step of the Wind, I think 24 feet.
Yeah, you can jump to the roof here.
Because I think my normal jump speed, my normal jump height is 12, and then it's doubled with Step of the Wind.
Rad. Great. Sol gets on top of the building. As you get up there, you feel like a little bit of like a crunch as like the airship shifts a little bit and the roof like crunches a little bit.
I mean, throw down that rope.
Okay, here we go. I'm sorry, it's a little wet. I toss it down.
It's going to get wetter. Actually, you should go first, because if you eat shit, I can get you up there.
Oh, all right. Okay. I'll climb the rope.
Go ahead and give me an athletics check.
It is sticky. Shout out to the one.
Okay. I'm going to touch him, and can I fake?
No. Is this a reaction?
It's a bonus action.
This thing has to resolve. Okay. So, you see Calder begins climbing up the rope, is struggling a bit, gets to the top of the roof, grabs the top,
all right,
uses his weight to pull himself up, and Calder,
who
always
so
considers himself
good.
Small, crashes through the roof. You see Calder disappears into the room below. Everybody go ahead and roll initiative.
Whoa.
Calder.
Probably affirming, though, for you.
That's just a weak roof. 19.
I have a 17.
Oh, 17 for me, too. Roll off?
I think you have higher dex. Oh, no, maybe I have good dex.
What's your dex?
Oh, yeah, my dex actually might be my highest stat.
Is yours plus 4?
Mine is plus 5.
Oh, wow, okay.
That's my highest stat.
Sweet. After you.
So, Calder, you fall through the roof. You see Sol.
You initiate combat, then start it.
Yeah. All around you, Sol, you see a bunch of the roof collapses, and you even see the airship that is stuck, like, hanging out of this fucking roof shifts down, and you hear, like, a ton of noise as Calder bangs down. Calder, you are going to take 8 damage right off the bat as you crash into like a bunch of these broken down pews right into the middle of a fucking battle. Saul, I'll say you're a monk. You managed to stay up even though a bunch of the roof collapses, but you're able to stay on one of the support beams. The shingles fall.
You see a little frog head poke over the hole in the roof and just go, "You good?"
No.
Calder, you've just crashed down amongst these broken down pews. There's fighting all around you. You see there are 3 ratfolk rogues, 2 big juicy rats with infected monostones, and 1 super juicy rat who looks like could be like the leader, like the chief. The big guys are doing these unstable arcane blasts as they club away at their enemies. Nice. It's like these wild magic surges.
I know a little something about that.
Yeah. They are battling 3 Lightkeeper cultists, just kind of the run-of-the-mill minions, 2 Lightkeeper priests who look like they're spellcasters, like a little bit tougher, and 2 more cultists who are protecting their leader, this priestess in a dirty white robe with long blonde hair. And as she gathers her followers around her to protect her, she yells out, "Protect me, for Theala shines through me. I am Sister Rosaline. We will retake our church.
Ow.
Theala has delivered this to us.
I don't have ears,
she
but that hurts.
She has delivered this to us for the light. Oh. I feel her speaking to me.
She reminds me of someone I hate."
Deep, deep in the recesses of my mind.
I will say, Calder, there is chaos all around you. So these guys are going to still attack each other. The rat folk rogues are just going to attack the little weenie cultists, the regular guys. Literally nat 1, first guy. Second guy hits a cultist and fully kills one. The regular light keepers do not, like, they're not wearing any armor. They're wearing, like, white cloaks. Gets stabbed. Oh, the light, take me!
God. They were always like this. They put on really bad plays.
Why do they worship this lady? She failed.
Third rat folk rogue also gets a 1. Calder, that is your turn.
All right. How many? I mean, there's a ton.
There's just, yeah, there's like 15 people in here, but they're all fighting each other. But you do see, you've drawn some attention by crashing through the ceiling. Who the hell are you?
I don't have any reason to hate this cultist, except I guess they seem like they're a ringleader. So
okay,
I'm going.
They would try to recruit children from the water park. It was pretty dodgy.
That's
I thought it was defunct.
Oh, a lot of kids lived there. It was like urchin paradise.
Oh, great.
That's all I needed to hear. I call up the spell from my hometown and I cast Ice Knife.
Oh shit.
On the
cultist.
Throw an Ice Knife at Sister Rosaline.
Okay, so first she has to succeed on a dex save.
Okay. 12.
That fails.
Great. She doesn't even see it coming. Ice Knife heading straight towards her. Explodes into a bunch of other shards of ice.
Anyone within 5 feet of her needs to succeed on another dex save or take 2d6
cold
damage. There's
two cultists over here that are protecting her. Protect Sister Rosaline. She is the one who gets us closer to the Allah.
God.
They're all like
they
this.
They both fail.
Great. I rolled so low.
Oh,
it's fucking 6 total.
Okay.
So
6 goes to everybody.
Actually, no. Only 3 goes to the cultist, and 6 goes to Rose.
Got it. Okay.
Ow, snowflakes.
Sister Rosaline really looks hardier. The other guys actually look like they were pretty hurt by that. Sister, help!
God, I'm so embarrassed to fight you.
You are an enemy of the light. You've come crashing from the sky, and yet you are clearly directly from hell.
Wow. God, that hurt. That was so fast.
Wait, that's like kind of cool. Yeah, we're from hell.
Yeah.
We're fucking demons.
We're from sky hell.
Callie, that is your turn.
All right. I share your trepidation, like, why am I going after this random woman? But she seems to be in charge.
We can work together.
She said we were
for the light. Get rid of the rats, and we can destroy the magic items. Because the progress of humanity is a direct affront to the Allah.
Get her.
That's enough. Okay, I'm just going to... I guess I probably have to face step in, right?
Yeah.
So I face step in right in front of Rosaline, and I'm just going to try to hit her.
Great.
They always get you in with the white bread and the milk, and then they go on about the enemy of progress and all that sort of stuff.
They got you in with the white bread and milk?
I was very hungry.
Did somebody say white bread?
Does a 17 hit?
It does.
I'm doing Doomblade, and I'm going to just defensive flourish and smite.
Shit.
Oh, that's a big stack. That's a big juicy stack. That stack is bigger and juicier than all of these rats.
I don't know. I'm pretty juicy.
Smited and flourished.
Begins doing a belly dance with his extremely infected belly button gemstone.
It's catching on, the style.
Oh my God.
39 damage.
Jesus Christ.
And wow. I get an extra +5 to my AC for the next round.
For fuck's sake. You swing into Sister Rosaline. There's this explosion that knocks her and the two cultists that are protecting her back. And she scrambles up.
Enemy of the light.
So she also has to move. Because I use Doomblade on her. She suffers a premonition of doom. Because I'm like, yeah, we're from fucking hell. So she suffers a premonition of doom until the end of my next turn. Unless the target moves 5 feet, it takes another 2d6 psychic damage.
Okay.
Sick.
Sweet. So yeah, she's wide-eyed. She sees a premonition.
The destruction is coming. We will be reunited with y'all soon, my followers.
Wait, would a premonition of doom to her, though, since they want a cataclysm?
Oh,
she's
yeah.
just like, there's no cataclysm.
It's just a Tuesday.
After Callie, that's Saul's turn.
All right. So I see my friends attacking these cultists for some reason. I don't know. I think they probably got a good inkling of why. So I'm going to just get into the mix because I don't really like them either. What I'm going to do, as I jump down, I say, Callie, this is going to sound weird, but electrocute me.
You got it. And I just like, I charge up a thunderous smite, but don't use it.
Sweet. So while I'm falling, I summon my spectral gauntlets. And I am going to cast Thunder Wave and slam the ground.
Oh, shit. What kind of save do they make, con?
That's going to be a DC 15 con save.
Okay. Sister Rosaline fails.
Yes.
Cultists pass.
All the cultists pass?
Just the two, yeah.
Okay, cool. And then after that, I am going to use my bonus action to do 2d6 damage from my gauntlets.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead and roll all your damage.
Cool. Nice. They need to make a dex save for that.
Okay, all three. Yeah. Got it. Okay. That one, Sister Rosaline passes, mm-hmm. and the cultists fail.
Cool. All right. Okay. So I will do the thunder damage for you and then the force damage.
Great. Yeah, you slam down bolts of electricity around you as your astral gauntlets hit the ground.
The milk was not good. It's not even whole milk.
You're from the water park.
That's right.
You could live with us here in an abandoned church.
Why is everybody living abandoned shit? I went to a cool school where magic was real. fuck. That's only 4 lightning damage.
Okay.
And then let me do the damage for the force. Okay, that is going to be 8 damage.
You kill the 2 cultists that
nice.
Were protecting
yeah,
Sister
baby.
Rosaline.
Just thunder and ice.
Love that.
After Saul's turn, that is the 2 buff rats' turns. They see that you guys are fighting the cultists, and they go like, all right. And they're going to go ahead and go after the 3 remaining just regular Lightkeeper cultists. There's 2 like priests that look a little better, but they're going to go after the regular guys. First big buff rat swings into one of these cultists and straight up blows up their head with this like arcane smite. You see their belly button monostone begin surging. It's incredibly unstable.
Ooh.
They're going to go ahead and roll on the wild magic table.
Okay, I'm going to say to that, while you do that, I'm saying like, hey, give us this cargo and we've got a mage that can stabilize your mana stones.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
He will wipe away the impurities of your mana stone, like with toilet paper.
Give me a persuasion check.
Be a nice time to crit! No.
Yeah.
17.
This buff rat looks at you and goes, finish off these guys and we'll talk.
Okay.
You see a burst of magic. You see he suddenly burns up and turns to dust and appears 20 feet over the cultist. He just exploded and begins falling 20 feet. He's fine. He's just 20 feet up.
Yeah.
After him, that is the other buff dude. He's going to go ahead and take 2 attacks against the other guy. Hits on the first attack. Hits on the second attack. Straight up blows up this dude. He's going to go ahead and roll on the wild magic table as you see another wild magic surge from him. You guys hear faint ethereal music for the next minute.
Mm.
Ah.
Is that my bird pipes?
I think it's actually Counting Crows.
Oh, but that's one of the pipes on the bird.
It's a Counting Crows deep track
one,
for some reason.
3.
Omaha.
All dressed up, no place to go. Hey, monkey,
yeah,
when
it's like
you're gonna
turkey
show
gobble,
your face.
Gobbling, red-breasted robin, mm-hmm. and Adam Duritz.
After the buff rats, that is the 2 Lightkeeper priests' turns. They see who their enemies are. They're going to go ahead and take cracks at Calder here.
Mm.
Actually, you know what? First things first, one of them is going to cast Hold Person on Calder.
Oh, no, ooh. I hate that.
Oh, wow.
Hold Person sucks ass.
Because he's over on the side. He threw an ice knife.
We're the only people that hold him.
Hold Person on a cold person.
The only one that can hold you is the light of the Allah. We can feel her hand.
Actually, my therapist, Jessica, says the only person that can hold you is yourself.
What?
Wow.
Jessica is wise.
Go ahead and give me
I actually fucking hate her.
I know, but I wish you would listen
obsession.
To her sometimes.
I know, you're right.
Give me a wisdom saving throw, Calder.
Wisdom saving.
I've been the knee to Jessica.
Shout out to the 2 crew.
No!
You are incapacitated. You're stuck.
How do I get out of that?
At the end of each of its turns,
you can make another wisdom saving throw. Okay. Success. Okay. So it's the end of your turn. Then the other one is going to go ahead and try the same thing on Callie. Go ahead and give me a wisdom saving throw.
Ooh, no.
Oh, dear.
Shout out to the two crew. Okay.
Poetic.
Okay. You guys are in a tough spot. Two of you get frozen.
Shit.
That is...
Thank God we hadn't attacked a rat.
You guys have not attacked a rat yet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is the buffest rat of all, the Juicy Rat Chief. The Juicy Rat Chief sees that you guys are frozen, thinks about it for a second, thinks better of it, and is just going to club at one of the regular cult fanatics. You see an arcane explosion, and he manages to take out the last of the regular cultists.
Saul watches his glutes clench in slow motion.
After the Rat Chief, that is Sister Rosaline. Got these frozen people in front of her.
Let me read, though. She might take 2d6 more psychic damage. If she doesn't move.
She'll move. Right. You guys are frozen. You guys can't get opportunity attacks.
Yeah, you're right.
Sister Rosaline is going to go ahead and cast Spiritual Weapon. You see...
Oof.
A magical sword appears in Callie's hand. You see, she makes it fly out of Callie's hand and attack the rat folk chief. She's going to go ahead and make a deception check.
Oh, wow. There goes our ally.
Dirty.
You see, sword hits the rat folk chief in the back. You see the other rat folks point over at Callie and go, "It was her! It was her! She was setting us up!"
You would turn the juice against us?
The rats lock onto you guys.
Okay.
Two of you incapacitated, and that's where we'll end our session.
No! Oh,
no!
No!
Oh my God!
You little shit!
What? That's what you get.
Why would you do that?
You try to align yourself with your enemies, the buff rats.
You're being really mean to us.
Yeah, I think so,
my
too.
My job.
Really unfair.
I'm a mean guy.
You're being nasty.
I'm a nasty little fucking rat.
You put us in a church and it's bad?
I don't understand. I've never done that. Thank you all so much for listening. You can head on over to our Patreon. Patreon.com/nadpod. That's NADDPOD. Don't sing yet.
We want
to sing with you. Listen to our after show, The Short Rest. Does anybody have anything they'd like to plug?
Come check out our live show. So
check them out. Nadpod.com/live.
Yeah, yell at Murph to his face.
Yeah. Fucking.
You're like two whole persons? That was like really rude.
That's just how good two whole persons. Sorry.
I can't believe you used
get
the spells.
Wisdom, assholes.
I can't believe you used the spells in the game against us.
This is what happened.
The sad thing is I do have proficiency in wisdom saves, but I have a zero wisdom. So, okay.
I will plug our P.O. box. If you want to send nasty little notes to Murph.
Please don't send me nasty little notes. Send nasty little postcards from beautiful places that he can't go because he's a loser.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Send me... Here's what I'll say. You have to say, "I'm just kidding, guy. Love ya."
Okay, yeah.
They have to be cheeky nasty.
You have to be so cheeky.
Yeah, be cheeky nasty. Because we're being cheeky nasty, right. So you got to commit to the cheeky nasty.
And I don't want you tweeting at Murph or using any digital means to be cheeky.
No, it needs to be a postcard.
It needs to be a postcard from somewhere beautiful.
Right. From somewhere beautiful, and the razzing that you do to me has to be about how I'm not at the place.
Right.
Mm. Yeah. You have to play like, "Of course you're not in Barcelona, you fucking American loser."
Yeah,
that type of razzing. Yeah.
Check me out. I'm at the Aurora Borealis, you fuck.
Yeah.
Oh,
there
my
you go.
God. I am just like secretly trying to turn this into a collage for myself.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just want a pen pal.
I'm very excited for this gallery wall of nasty little postcards. 1920 Hillhurst Avenue, number 222, Los Feliz, California, 90027. Got a lot of stuff at the P.O. Box I need to shout out, but we'll get to that next week.
Sweet. Thank you all so much for listening. You can follow us on social media that we may or may not use, at chmurfsme, at Caldy's Caldwell, at Axford's Emily, and at Jake Horses Jake. And you can tweet about the show using hashtag NADPOD. That's NADDPOD.
We are. The youth of a nation, we are. The youth of a nation.
And now it is time to thank our benevolent Council of Elders. Brad D., Jeffrey S., Hugh C., Later McSkater, Matt M., Darby N. M., Jordan DJ, Cutter W., Dylan B., Dungeon Mama, Danielle the Dastardly Dame, Beardman Dan, Scott D., Danny P., Michael McD., Vincent W., Miss Tur Cole, Victor T., Nerdle, Andrew B., Justin I., Ragnar Fairdwin, TJ M., Kaylee E., Elena M., Trele the Crayfay, Jared E., Christopher B., Damiel R., Cyborg Version of Josh the Kobold, Filbert the Therapy Duck, Richard X. Machina, Michael L., Taylor S., Sir Carl, Jory S., Callum L., Jack L., Sam L., Nicholas C., Samuel B., Mike H., Martin P., Matthew E., Colton B., Adam G., Knee Badger, Panama James, Andrew the Bard, Captain Sigil, Nathan C., the Assistant King to the Assistant King of Iron Deep, Hail to the Hammer, Grace G., Diana, CC Lulu, Barnesonator, Michelle O., Haricule Poirot, the Rabbit Folk Detective, Timmy R., Crocaholic, Lucas B., Ryko, It's Kevin, Calder's Cold Come, How Dare You, New York, Cass, Skateboard Cass, Stephen C., Michael M., Mike K., Lady Taco, Joy T., Nara, Jake L., Nick W., Brave the Badger, Esme M., Mutton the Mad Druid, a has-been trying to undo his friend who has been stuck as a polymorphed sheep for 3 weeks, Handy Annie 001, Aaron the Asshole Ranger, Big Bad Beard of the Mad, Eric Mick D., Giant Monsters on the Horizon, Ghoulia Julia, Burley T., Percival Fredrickson von Muscle, Klawowski DiRolo III, Christian A., J. Dragonborn, Joe Rowe, The Inapropos, Cody B., Liam D., The Sandrian, Ben A., Feldonis, John III, Dave H., Vivian, Koala Bear, Catherine S., David K., Christian S., Dustin S., Connor F., Hawkeye Pierce, Bookvar's Assistant, Izzy F., The Time Walker, Two Left Eyes, DPC, Is Awesome, Blair, The Bug Blair, Bar Blarian, Cat C., Kelsey J., Porkchop, Selena N., Valacy Raptor, Minette the Magnificent, Magikarp, Pat L., Achutha A., Lauren H., Amber W., Ryan S., The Charming Fluff, Robert Crisp, Brentley C., Micah B., Mr. Satan, the World Martial Arts Champion and the Earth's Protector, Some Quantity of Ploops, Carly A., Addie K., Lori P., Seth A. J., Spam Gaming, the Not So Skilled Gamer, Grant L., Connor Savage, Christopher J., Pebblepot, Tight Grandma's Favorite Grandson, Who Secretly Makes Bathtub Brisket. Wow. Logan S., Leviathan, Biocourt 7, Amber Dextrous, Thrill of the Fright, aka Ashley, Sullivan H., Trub Hop Dropper, Sydney T., Jack H., You Face Jiraxis, Eradar, A Lord of the Burning Legion, Garble the Moist, Juicy Kiwi, Champ Wild, Valen, Sprite Pepsi, Carlin C., Louie is Your Dad, Noah the Bagel of All Things, Estelle Loyolo Aether, Aluia Theater, Conflicted DM, Justin L.B. Dandy Ian D., Bunnies Bunny Freya sends her regards, Marcos P., Pup Kalish, Gabe the Dice Smith, Learns the Balance Druid, Dakota J. P., Pagos the Self-Proclaimed Fey Prince, Katrin the Great One, a Warlock Patron, Tracy P., the Crick Elf Librarian, Friar Frizzet, Andy E., Lisa M., Holly Hyena, Anthony A., Leah C., Abigail, Maybe, Kristen with a K., Sloth King 777, Cal, just Cal, Commodore Galaxy, Edison N., Russell H., a Monk named Dilgo, yes the whole thing, yes every time, Neos the Novice Monster Hunter, Lorelei Frost, Morgan M., Sticker, Zachary A., Stephen E., Mr. Adams, Meg, the Mail Carrier of Bohemia, James F., Jimmy A., Cap'n Cappy, Number One, Jens Lindell Fan, The Dragon Ambassador, Wayfarer, Andrew B., Dalton B., Cope Fresh, Barpo, The Good Barrel, Bard Barbarian, and Brewer Emeritus of Water Deep, Jet Black is back, Tari rhymes with Jabari, fuck me! Tari rhymes with Jabari. Got it that time. I will get it eventually. Welshlander, Garrett G., One Big Curd, Eric M., Jaden D., Tommy K., Nola, John P., Mr. Sillyhead, Otho Dezelia, and Renee S. Thank you all.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.